All right, turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter number 3. And we'll begin in a minute here. I'm not sure about this ATF team name. It's a little different. Every time I hear it, I think of automatic transmission fluid. It doesn't fit with the other three, but that's what I think of. It is a blessing to be here this morning and a blessing to be able to stand up and bring this message to you all. I never got to be a camper at this campground. When I was in teen camps, we kind of played musical campgrounds and we camped out in the hills of West Virginia where they had death rails and pancakes that were as hard as rocks. Where else did we go? We went to one place where they raised the Confederate flag as our Yankee bus pulled into the parking lot. That was Turkey Ridge. We had some exciting camps. This is a really nice campground, and you kids should enjoy it and feel blessed to be here. I always enjoy coming as a counselor, and this year I didn't get to do the counseling, and I kind of miss doing the morning Bible studies. That's one of my favorite parts of being a team leader and a counselor here at this camp. But I get to do this instead, so that's all right. But I want to talk to you this morning about choices. And we're going to look at some verses here this morning in the book of Colossians. And when Pastor Gable presented the theme this year, this was the first passage that popped into my mind. Of course, the theme being, who am I? And finding your identity in Jesus Christ. And, you know, it's really easy to grow up in a Christian home and sit where you sit and get stuck in kind of just what you are in your culture. Because, you know, each one of you who comes from a home where your mom and dad have brought you up in church, your culture is to sit where you're sitting right now. Your culture is to go to church. Your culture is to do the Christian thing. And there comes a point where you have to make the choice for yourself whether that is who you are or who you want to be. And, you know, if you think about your life and you think about 40 years from now, I know that that's difficult for some of you to really consider, but 40 years from now, who do you want to be? You know, four of you just graduated from high school and you should hopefully have some idea of what you want to do for the rest of your life. But you do realize the choices that each one of you make, whether you're just coming into camp, this is your very first camp, or you're exiting, or, you know, even those of us who are adults in different stages of life here at this camp, the choices that you and I make today are shaping who we will be in the future. And who you are today does not determine who you will be in the future, but rather the choices that you make will determine who you will be. If you think about people who are involved in the Olympics, they have made a choice that this is something that they want to pursue after. They want to pursue after those gold medals. And that excludes a lot of things in their life that you and I would do on a normal basis. If someone's going to be an Olympic athlete, it requires an immense amount of discipline, usually beginning when they're a small child. And, you know, you may have grown up as a small child just kind of playing video games or running around, playing on playgrounds and having fun. But someone who's going to be an Olympic athlete, when they're 5, 6 years old, they're putting in time. If they're going to be an Olympic swimmer, they're at the pool and they're swimming laps back and forth day after day, month after month. Why? Because they've made the choice, or maybe rather at that point their parents have made the choice, that this is the direction that they are going to go. And it's no different for us, because each of you are making choices. And at some point, you know, your parents are kind of going to hand the reins off to you of your life. And the choices that you're making even right now will determine who you will be in the future. So we want to think about some important choices this morning and how that plays into who you are and who you will be. Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 1. The Apostle Paul says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the chance to be here and to open your word. And I pray that you would speak to us from your word this morning and help us to make choices that would bring honor and glory to you. Choices that would shape our future in a way, Father, that you can use us and that we might be a light for you of the gospel in this world. I just pray that you'd speak to us from your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So the first thing to think about this morning, the first choice, if you will, is, are you risen or dead? Are you risen or dead? The Apostle Paul says here in verse number 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. You know, there comes a point in a time in our life where each of us makes a choice, rather to be saved or to reject Jesus Christ. And many of you here this morning have a testimony of salvation. You have a point in a time when you made the choice, when God showed you who you were. You saw your sin. You repented and turned to Jesus Christ in faith, and you have a relationship with him. But, you know, if you don't have that point in time in your life, then you're on the other side. You're not risen with Christ, but in fact, you are dead in trespasses and sins. And There's no middle ground. There's no limbo. There's no other third option that you can have. You're either risen with Christ or you're not. Paul uses this word, if. It's a conditional word. If ye then be risen with Christ. So if you think about, Paul's primarily saying, he's primarily talking to those who are risen. But if you're not, then you're dead. And, you know, if you're dead in your trespasses and sins, well, what does that mean this morning? I want you to turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 2. The Apostle Paul, again, he says here in verse number 1, Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know, the truth is that each one of us, we enter this life dead in our trespasses and sins. And according to verse number 2 there, Paul says that we walk according to the prince of the power of the air. You know, the world, they try to present to you these choices. They say, you know, you need to be your own person. You need to live your own life. And whatever you want to do out here, you know, if you want to have fun by doing whatever it is, just go for it. It's real freedom. But, you know, the truth is, and Paul says that it's really being led along by someone else. If you think, oh no, I'm really going to live my life. I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to, you know, do whatever I want and I'll be free. Paul says, no, you're not really free. You're being taken advantage of. You're falling right into someone's trap. You're walking according to the prince of the power of the air. So, you know, if you try to live your own life and you say, I don't care about the things of God. I don't want to follow after God. I don't want to follow Christ. I want to be my own person. You're walking right into the hands of the devil. And that's exactly where each one of us starts this life. The Bible tells us that he is our Father. And, you know, Brother Lewis, he preached a message last night about how we've been forsaken. And when you're the child of the devil, He's not trying to do good things for you. He's not trying to make your life really great. This is the lie that the world tries to tell you. They say, oh yeah, you'll have tons of fun. It'll be great. You'll get everything that you want. But at the end, you get heartache, destruction, pain, eternal separation from God. Turn over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter number 10. Gospel of John, chapter number 10, and verse number 10. I'm sure it's a familiar verse to most of you. Jesus is speaking here. He says, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." You know, if you were to sum up Satan's purposes in your life and in this world, that's exactly it. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. And people fall into this trap every single day. They say, well, you know, God's word says that I should abstain from this, that I should flee from this, I should walk away from this, and I should follow after Him. But, you know, this is what I really want. I want to do this because it looks fun. It looks like it will bring fulfillment. It looks like it will really bring me to where I want to go. But Jesus says that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
And every time that you follow after Him, every time you make a choice that says, no, I'll ignore what God says and I'll do what I want to do instead, you play right into the hands of Satan. You know, if I came to you today and I said, let's see here, Joseph, I have an investment opportunity for you. If you give me $10,000, I will take all of it and I'll kill you when it's all done. Does this sound like a good investment opportunity? No. That's stupid, right? Nobody would do that. Nobody in their right minds. But, you know, every time we make a choice to say, I want to follow after my flesh, I want to do this thing that God promises will bring destruction, it's like Satan comes to us with an offer like that and says, yeah, give me everything you have and then I'll kill you at the end. And we say, yeah, that sounds great. I'll do that. But, you know, he's good at sugarcoating it. He's good at making it look good, at making it sound good. But the end doesn't change. So Paul comes and he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And the first choice that each one of us makes is if we will be risen with Christ or not. It's the choice to step out and say, no, I don't want the devil as my father anymore, but I choose Jesus Christ. I choose the way that He has made for me to become one of His own. And, you know, in Christ is true liberty and freedom. And, you know, it's easy to look and say, well, if I follow Christ, then I'll miss out on this, or I won't be able to do that. I won't have this. But none of that means anything. None of the things of this world mean anything in eternity. And in Christ is found true liberty and freedom. You know, when I got married last year in July, and I put this ring on and I made a commitment to my wife, I excluded myself from every other woman in this world. And that's not somehow a burden. That's not somehow slavery. That's a choice that I made. Because why? Well, because I love her. And because I don't need anyone else. I only need her. She's the only one. And when we come to Christ, yes, we exclude ourselves from the world. But that's not somehow a burden. That's not somehow slavery.
Amen.
It's making the best choice you could ever make. So when we think about choices, the ultimate one is, will you be risen with Christ or will you remain dead in trespasses and sins? God doesn't somehow force salvation on you. The choice, amazingly, is left up to you. But when we think about who am I, and primarily this is the direction I want to go this morning, those of you who say, yes, I have made the choice to be called the Son of God, one of the sons of God, to become His child, I've made the choice to leave my sins behind and to follow after Him. Life can be tough sometimes as a Christian to live in a way that honors and glorifies God. Because we're still here on this earth. We still have that old man inside of us that likes to sit up and say, no, I want you to do that. I want you to follow after that thing. And even though we know the truth, Every single day we have to crucify that flesh. We have to put it to death and choose to follow after Christ. And Paul says this here. He says, if ye then be risen with Christ. It's almost like he's challenging you. He's saying, if you say you're risen with Christ, if you say you're a Christian, here's some things that you need to do. And, you know, as Christians, many Christians are stuck in kind of an identity crisis. They say, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I know I'm born again. I know I'm saved. But yet you look at their lives and they're following after the things of the world in a lot of ways. And, you know, I don't think there's any person who can sit here today and say, yeah, I've made it. I've completely cut myself off from every desire and pull of the flesh, and I'm 100% following Christ. So we're kind of stuck in this area of saying, well, I want to follow Christ, but part of me doesn't. Part of me says, no, I want to do this. So Paul says, we are to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and set your affection on things above, not on the earth. So the second choice this morning, if you are risen with Christ, if you've made that choice, the second choice for you this morning is, will you be active or passive? Will you be active or passive? Paul here says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affection on things above. Jeremiah, you just graduated from high school. Seek and set. What kind of words are those in the English language? Verbs. Okay. Would you say they're active verbs or passive verbs? Yeah. Active. Yeah, you think about seek and set. You can't really sit down and relax, take a nap, and be seeking and setting. I guess you're setting in your easy chair, in a way. Sitting, yes. So he says here, seek and set. Now, if I told you all that out here on the campground, behind Ashbrook Hall, 5 years ago, someone buried $12 million in gold. And it is yours for the taking if you can find it. And you believe me. You thought I was honestly telling the truth. What would you do? You would be out there as fast as you could with a shovel. If you really believed me, you'd be out there digging. You'd be digging all night. The raccoons would be running around and you wouldn't care. Even if you're scared of raccoons, you'd be digging. Why? Well, because you'd say, well, there's buried treasure out there. And if I got it, $12 million, man, I don't have to work a day in my life. Invest that and I'm good to go. But Paul here, he says that we are to seek those things which are above. How are you seeking after the things of God? Are you seeking with that kind of an attitude? If you really believe there was $12 million in gold out there, the attitude that you would use to apply yourself to digging after that gold, is that the attitude that you use to seek after the things of God? Yeah, it's a moth. Don't worry, it won't bite. Is that the attitude that you have about the things of God that says, I don't care about anything else. I want the things of God. I want to know God more. I want God working in my heart and my life more than anything else. Paul here says that as Christians, we must actively seek the things of God. But then he goes a step further and he says, set your affection on things above. You know, there's a funny thing about your affections. They're fickle. That means they kind of go all over the place. They squirm, they move. And the world is actively involved in setting your affections for you. Does that make sense? The world is actively involved in setting your affections for you. Every time you watch TV, every time you step out your door and you interact with our culture, you see billboards on the road, you walk into a supermarket, you walk into a shopping mall, the culture is trying to tell you how you should live. They tell you what you should wear, what you should eat, what you should look like, how you should cut your hair. Everything. They feed it to you. And you know, we're not exempt from that as Christians. We don't somehow get a free pass and say, oh, well, you know, every time I walk out my door, I put blinders on. I don't see anything in this world. I don't talk to anyone in this world. I only talk to Christians. Even if you did that, the other Christians that you talk to are influenced by the world. And the world, as we already looked at, is run by the devil, the prince of the power of the air. And he's not somehow trying to give you affections that are good for you. He's not somehow trying to feed you affections that are really going to help you out in this life. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to take your life and burn it and make you 100% useless. If you're a Christian, he's trying to make your life trashed so that God can't do anything with you. Because he can't touch your soul. He can't take you for eternity. But he can sure mess up your life here. And that's exactly what he wants to do. He wants to get you involved in seeking after things and setting your affections on things here on this world that will destroy you. Because he doesn't want you to have a testimony for Jesus Christ. So if I told you this morning that there was a sniper out here in the woods and he was going to shoot anyone who walked out of this building, but you couldn't stay in this building, you would be terrified if you really believe me again. Right? If you thought that there was seriously someone here that was going to try to kill you, you'd be terrified. But somehow when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to spirituality, and we know that Satan is out to kill us, we somehow go, oh, well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. I'll be fine. It's like, oh, well, I don't have a care in the world about the fact that Satan is trying to ruin my life. I'll just, you know, I'll watch that movie that I know I shouldn't. I'll accept the affections of the culture and I'll be okay. I'll somehow be exempt from Satan's power and influence in my life. But when we do that, we play right into the hands of Satan. And no, there's not someone out here trying to physically kill you today, but Satan is trying to claim your life and ruin it. So you have a choice to make. Will you be active in setting your affections? Will you be active in seeking the things of God? Or will you be passive? Will you sit back and say, well, I'll let my parents make the decisions for me. I'll let my parents tell me that I shouldn't listen to that, I shouldn't watch that. I'll let my parents tell me what I shouldn't get involved in. How about you open God's Word? How about you find from Him and say, oh, you know, God, that really isn't something that brings honor and glory to You. That isn't something that helps me set my affections on You. I should cut that out of my life. Amen. What a novel idea. But Paul gives us a list. He doesn't leave it up to us just kind of, oh, let's just imagine what kind of thing Satan might set our affections on. Verse number 5, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Okay, that word mortify means to kill. It's like a mortician. Put it to death. Put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence. 4 things which all deal with sexual sin, sexual perversion. And you know, you don't have to look far at all in our world to find sexual perversion. They want to take everything that is about you and twist it into lust and sin, and they want to destroy you. And if you're not like them, they want to destroy you. So Paul says we are to put to death the fleshly lusts that we have. Then he says covetousness, desiring what other people have. Looking at other people's things and saying, I can't be content because I don't have what they have. Covetousness. Then he says idolatry, putting things before God. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now put off all these, also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, if you're looking for some things that might creep up in your life, that Satan might try to put in your heart through the influences of this world and other people, there's a good list. There's a good list to really ask God and say, God, are any of these things in my life? Are any of these things in my heart?
Amen.
And actively say, no, I don't want these things. I want to seek and to set my affection on God. You have some choices to make. You have the choice of whether you will be risen with Christ or be dead in your trespasses and sins. You have the choice whether you will be active or passive. But then you also have the choice of who you will live for. Who will you live for? Because ultimately, every day you make a choice. If you're born again, if you're a Christian this morning, you make a choice every single day. Who am I going to live for? Many times it's multiple times a day. You have to make a choice. You're faced with a decision. You come to a crossroads and it says, well, I can go this way and I can live for me, or I can go the other way that I know I ought to go and live for Christ. And you don't somehow grow out of this and become exempt from these choices. They're there with you every single day. And every single day you have to recognize once again and say, well, who am I? Am I a child of the devil? Am I serving Satan? Or am I a child of God? And if you're a child of God, then you're faced with these decisions and you have to say, well, am I going to serve Satan, my old master? Or am I going to serve God? So he says there in verse number three, he says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. If you're saved here this morning, Paul says that your life is taken and it's been hidden inside Jesus Christ, inside of God. And then he goes on in verse number four, he says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. So he says, not only is your life taken and hidden inside of Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, if you're a Christian, he is your life. So I ask you this morning, is that how you live? I guess it's afternoon now. This afternoon. Is that how you live? Do you live like Jesus Christ is your life? Or do you live like you are your life? Do you live like, hey, life's all about me. I want to have fun. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to have this career. I want to make this much money. I want to do all of these things. Or does your life say, no, Jesus Christ is my life? And that's a choice you have to make every single day. Those things that we looked at in verses 5 through 9, those are choices you have to make. You come to the crossroad that says, am I going to follow this fleshly lust that I have? Or am I going to follow Christ? Who am I? What are the choices that you are making? Look down to verse number 12 there. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 12. Paul says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness." Paul gives us a whole list of things that we are to choose to do rather than what our flesh would say to do. But, you know, this is really what it comes down to as a Christian is, if you're truly saved, am I going to live like who I am? Or am I going to let a dead flesh rise up and try to tell me how I ought to live? Am I going to serve Jesus Christ or am I going to serve Satan? Because when you choose to go after the flesh, when you choose to say, no, I want to go after this lust that I have, you're not somehow escaping the consequences. You're not somehow escaping the truth that when you follow after Satan, you're serving him. When you follow after the things of the flesh, when you follow after your lusts, you're playing right into Satan's hands. It doesn't matter that you're a Christian. When you put yourself in that path, you're not exempt. You open yourself up to all of the consequences, all of the heartache, all of the things that come from making those choices. So you really have to ask yourself this morning, who am I? Am I a child of God? Am I a follower of Jesus Christ? And if so, what does that mean? What does that mean for the choices that I have to make today? When I'm faced with the choice to be angry with this person, am I a follower of Satan or am I a follower of Christ? When I'm faced with the choice to make a lustful decision, to indulge in lustful thoughts, to indulge in things that I should not be indulging in, to steal from someone else, to hurt someone else with my words, with bitterness and malice in my heart. You have to make the choice. Who am I? Is that who I am? Am I this person who lives according to my flesh, or am I one that is controlled by the Spirit of God?
Amen.
Turn over to Galatians chapter number 6. We're almost done. Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 7 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." The choices that you are making today will determine what your future will look like. Now, there is grace in Christ. And if you make horrible decisions today, there's the possibility that God could maybe still use you in the future in some capacity. But don't play that game.
Amen.
Don't say, oh, well, I'll just avail myself of God's grace and play this game with God and do whatever I want to, and hope that in the future he forgives me and allows me to somehow still be used in his plan. That's not really being yielded to God at all. You reap what you sow. Are you sowing to the flesh today, or are you sowing to the Spirit? You know, I asked you earlier in the message, who do you want to be in 40 years? I mean, think about it. Let's say 40 years from now, you die. Have you ever looked up, there's a couple websites you can go on, they're these death calculators. And you can input your age, your height, your body mass index, your weight, kind of the activities that you're involved in, and it gives you a rough estimate, statistically speaking, of when you'll die. Has anybody ever done that? Nobody? I thought maybe Brother Adam would have done this. I did this. I went in on one and I put in all of my statistics and it gave me a date of death of Monday, September the 20th, 2077. I'll be 88 years old if I die then. But think about it. The day of your death comes. What do you want people to remember you for? What kind of people are going to gather at your funeral, if anyone? And I heard someone say once that you're not ready to live your life until you know what you want to be said on your tombstone. And if you had to boil your entire life down to one phrase that could fit on your tombstone, what would it say? You know, some of you are living for something on your tombstone to say something like, well, they tried to have fun in life. Some of you are making choices today that when people come to your funeral, they'll shake their heads and say, well, they could have done a lot for God. They said they were a Christian, but I'm not really sure. It's hard to tell. It's hard to say. Don't be like that. The choices you make today will affect who you become in the future.
Amen.
Remember that Satan has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But you know the other half of that verse. Jesus says, I am come that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. This world will sell you all of the affections that you could possibly want. The world will tell you how you should live your life. The world will tell you what to desire, what to want. And without exception, the things that the world gives you to set your affections on and to seek after will lead to destruction. But the things of God will lead to life everlasting. You have some choices to make this morning. Are you risen or are you dead? You know, if you're not saved here this morning, that's a really important choice. That is the most important choice that you have in front of you. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Will you flee? Will you flee from having this horrible father, the devil, as your master, and run to Jesus Christ? Or will you sit back and say, no, I'll accept the deal that the devil gives me. It's up to you. God will not force your hand. Second, are you going to be active or passive in your life? Will you allow the world to shape your affections? Or will you actively choose to set them on the things of God? And then who are you going to live for? Are you going to live for yourself? Or are you going to live for God? And that's a choice you have to make every single day, over and over and over again. When you're faced with a decision, who are you and who are you going to live for? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the admonition of Paul for each one of us to